So, were you here last night?
Yes.
How was the whole thing?
Frightening. Really, it was horrible. Really, really horrible. I've lived in this area my whole life, but I don't ever remember anything as intensive as that.
What stands out the most about how intense it was?
The winds. I mean, the winds was crazy. We're just lucky that the house stayed.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it was picking the roof completely up.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So just this damage, we consider ourselves lucky.
This is my brother's residence. They caught the outer band of the eye, which caught the 125 mile an hour winds. And we're cleaning up the debris from it, and it's pretty bad. Everything in Bell City is either knocked down or torn up, or roofs missing shingles, and it's bad.
Yeah. Have you ever seen anything like this here?
Never. And I've been living here for a long time, and I've never seen it this bad. This was a first, especially during a Category 4 hurricane. And to be honest, I don't think I ever want to do it again.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey, Travis.
So we just heard the voices of Dana Laverne and Dylan Guidry, and they were two of the people that I interviewed in Southwest Louisiana after Hurricane Laura pummeled that area at the end of August in 2020. Laura made landfall at that time as a Category 4 hurricane, and it just completely devastated that part of the state.
Yeah, this hurricane season was so bonkers. It was like hurricane after hurricane. I'm so happy that it's done.
Yeah, me too. And so is this guy.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, is this Darren?
Yeah, this is him.
Hey, Darren, this is Travis and Lauren.
Hello.
Good, how are you?
Good. Thanks for talking to us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, so what do you guys want to talk about?
So on Life Raft, we explore your questions about climate change. And we wanted to hear from someone who recently lived through a hurricane to see if they had any questions that we could dig into about this relationship between hurricanes and climate change. So that's why we got in touch with Darren Spicer. Darren lives in Moss Bluff, Louisiana, and one of our reporters at New Orleans Public Radio, Aubrey Juhas, actually interviewed him after he and his family got hit by Hurricane Laura back in August. So we figured we would follow up to see if he had any questions for us.
Are you guys meteorologists, or y'all have any? Did y'all study in the field or anything like that?
No.
I got you.
I'm a comedian. I just am here to lighten the mood a little bit.
I understand. Yeah. Nevertheless, as far as the hurricane season goes, mm-hmm. I guess all I can say is really, by living down here, you take this chance.
Yeah.
You know, we got hit with Laura, and what was it, 3.5 weeks later, we get hit with Delta.
Right.
You know, that's never happened to us before. And my wife has already said, if we get hit with another one, a Cat 3, we're leaving.
Mm.
You know, and I've lived here my whole life, and I never thought about leaving, but I agree with her. We can't keep continuing to do this. You know, I mean, 15 years sounds like a long time in between two different major hurricanes, but, you know, when you got to deal with uprooting your life and repairing everything again over and over again, I mean, what's the point in it?
Darren thinks there's probably some kind of climate connection between hurricanes and how strong they've been getting.
Obviously, I'm not one to dig deep into climate change,
mm-hmm.
because I haven't done enough research on it to, you know, say one thing or the other. But, I mean, look at what's going on. I mean, just based off the cover of the book, you know, you could tell that there's something going on.
Right.
And you got fives and fours everywhere, you know, on the landscape. And you question how that comes about when it's never happened before.
So he wants to know more about whether climate change is making storms stronger and Darren also had a much more specific question. He's kind of obsessed with the weather patterns. He told us when he was a kid he wanted to grow up to be a meteorologist.
I understand climate change. The glaciers are warming or melting. It seems like the further north you go, they make it sound, that's where it's taking place, at the poles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where does climate change affect the equator, the patterns there between Central Africa, where all these storms are pretty much coming off, all these lows that come off the coast, and they eventually end up in the Caribbean. So how does climate change affect weather and patterns on the equator during hurricane season?
Okay, so let's summarize what Darren is curious about. Number one, is climate change making storms stronger? And then number two, is climate change affecting how storms develop way out in the Atlantic Ocean by the equator?
From WWNO, WRKF, and PRX, this is Life Raft, your survival guide for a changing planet. I'm Lauren Malera. Believe it or not, I'm a comedian, and I was born and raised in New Orleans.
And I'm Travis Lux. I'm an environment reporter for New Orleans Public Radio. And today on the show, 2020 hurricane season. What the heck happened, and how much can we blame on climate change?
So, Travis, to answer these questions, you went on a trip without me.
I did. In early January, I hopped in my car and I drove to the tiny little town of Manny, Louisiana.
Yeah, I don't like to leave my neighborhood. I don't like to leave New Orleans. So I was happy to not drive 5 hours out of my city.
Right. Well, I went to Manny to talk to a woman named Virginia Burkett, because that's where she lives. And Manny's this really super cute little town buried deep in the woods of northwest Louisiana. And she lives on this very remote piece of land on the outside of town. Actually, her driveway is so hidden and full of trees and pine needles that I really thought I was lost when I was trying to get to her.
Hello, Virginia?
Hey, Virginia, it's Travis Lux. I'm sorry I'm running behind here. I think I turned in the wrong place.
Oh, okay, where are you?
I just turned down.
Travis, that does not sound cute. That sounds scary. That's how every scary movie starts. Car gets lost in the woods. Somebody dies.
You're right. Well, even though her house is more than 100 miles from the coastline, you could still see evidence of the 2020 hurricane season right there on her property.
Yeah, and as you drive through there, notice the hurricane damage those trees.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's the result of Hurricane Laura, and mainly Laura, yeah. But keep coming on that little road. It's going to wind back, and it's got a lot of time.
Yeah, so she got me back on track, and eventually I got to her house, and we sat down at a table on her back porch, distance and masked, and she told me that she's seen the damage of hurricanes her whole entire life because she grew up on the Gulf Coast in Biloxi, Mississippi.
I remember going to the beach growing up, and collecting all kinds of interesting debris from storms that from other parts of the world and off the barrier islands would wash on shore. So it was a great time to, to go beach combing, you know.
But of course, not all of her memories were good ones. There are two storms that stand out in particular. The first one was Hurricane Camille back in 1969.
And I was a freshman in college and came home and just saw the devastation and the lives lost during Camille, changed everyone's perspective. Growing up in Biloxi, there was a AC and BC, before Camille and after Camille.
Yeah, we had something like that for Katrina, before Katrina, after Katrina.
Right. And it was Hurricane Katrina that was actually the second really big storm that she was thinking about.
My parents' home had 6 foot of water, and everything floated around in the house, and it was pretty devastating on my parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a child of hurricanes and have just observed the changes in the environment and changes in the weather patterns, even in my 70 years.
And so this is the reason I wanted to talk to her, not just because she's a child of hurricanes, like she said, but she's actually one of the top climate scientists in the state of Louisiana. She's the chief climate and land use scientist for the U.S. Geological Survey. That's the USGS. And so I figured, you know, if anyone could answer our questions about climate change and hurricanes, it's her.
Well, we'll find out what she told you. We'll get some answers after the break.
All right, Lauren, let's kick off this second half with a little bit of science.
Everybody loves science, mm-hmm. Travis.
So before we talk about how hurricanes are changing, it's a good idea to understand how they form in the first place, like the basic science of what powers them and where they come from. So we're going to break it down. Ready?
Let's do this. Kick it off, Virginia.
For hurricanes and other tropical storms to form, there has to be warm ocean water and moist, humid air in the region.
Warm water and humid air are the most important things to pay attention to in this conversation. But here's how the whole thing goes down. The humid air warms up and evaporates off of the water.
As that air evaporates, it leaves behind an area of low pressure closer to the surface of the water. New air rushes in to fill that space. Then that air warms up and evaporates. Eventually, all those water molecules that have evaporated condense into clouds, ready to dump a lot of rain.
And now for the spinning part. So the reason they spin has to do with this thing called the Coriolis effect. And this is a little complicated to explain, but it basically has to do with the fact that the world is round and it spins on an axis. So in the northern hemisphere, storms rotate counterclockwise. And then in the southern hemisphere, they rotate clockwise.
Hurricanes, just like toilets.
And here's one more fun fact. Virginia told me that hurricanes actually can't form at the equator for the same reason.
They only form within 300 miles of the equator.
There's not enough like tilt or something, or there's
that,
not enough.
Well, that centrifugal force is not does not deflect it one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
But when you get 300 miles north, we call that region off the African coast the main development region for hurricanes that make landfall in the coastal margins of North America.
So here's an idea, Lauren. If we want to get away from hurricanes, just move to the equator.
Except I don't want to ever leave New Orleans.
Yeah.
So here's an idea. We bring that equator up to us. So one of the things our guy Darren was asking about is this area off the coast of Africa. If there's anything going on there climate-wise that's affecting hurricanes.
And I asked Virginia about that, and she said basically no.
Well, there's a lot of things going on in Africa, particularly with respect to precipitation and temperature. But in terms of the development of hurricanes that make landfall here, there's no consensus of any changes in geography.
So the jury's still out on that one. What about hurricane intensity? That was the other thing Darren was wondering about. Hurricane Laura decimated Louisiana, including Darren's community. So are hurricanes getting stronger? And if so, is that related to climate change?
Yes, because hurricanes take energy from the warm ocean to become stronger. And so if the ocean is warmer, which it is, than it was 40, 30 years ago, then you're going to see more intense storms develop. So, like when a hurricane passes over land, it starts to weaken or dissipate. You know, it doesn't have that energy from the and humidity from the ocean to drive it.
So the idea here is because the oceans are warmer, there's more hurricane fuel, mm-hmm. which means storms are getting bigger and badder.
Yes, but here's an interesting thing. So by that logic, I figured that would mean, you know, warmer waters would lead to more storms overall, like a higher number of storms on average. If not now, then maybe sometime in the future. But Virginia said that's not the case.
Well, there's no consensus amongst scientists that the number of tropical storms has increased.
Okay.
So not necessarily the number of tropical storms that form, but scientists have documented an increase in the number of the strongest storms, like Category 4 and 5, mm-hmm. over the past 40 years.
So what you're saying is right now, scientists don't think that the average number isn't going to necessarily go up, but mm-hmm. the number of storms that are really strong is going to go up.
Yes.
So maybe there's still 10 storms every season, but maybe now 50% are going to be stronger rather than 10%
exactly.
or whatever. Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that's bad news.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just projections. I mean, that's what we've observed.
But the 2020 hurricane season did have so many storms. There were 30 named storms. We were in the Greek alphabet
right
when it got to names. That was an all-time record for named storms. So why have there been so many?
Well, this may or may not have something to do with climate change. It probably has to do with a cyclical weather pattern called La Nina, which usually leads to more tropical storms anyway.
The La Nina conditions developed during the peak of the 2020 hurricane season. And La Nina has the opposite effect of El Nino, which is the warming of the Pacific Ocean.
Okay, so this is also a little bit confusing in the science, but I think I understand it just enough to give a little simple summary. That's okay.
I put my full faith in you for this.
Great. So basically what we're talking about here is natural climate variations in the Pacific Ocean. So in any given year, we are in one of three phases: El Nino, neutral, or La Nina. Like phases of the moon, you're always in one of those phases. But for El Nino and La Nina, these cyclical phases, they last usually for about 3 to 7 years. So I'm not going to get like super deep into the mechanics, but the gist here is that different weather conditions are present in those phases. And those conditions are either better or worse for hurricane development. Things like warm ocean temperatures versus cool temperatures, if that makes sense.
It does. It's like the seasons for the ocean.
Exactly. So here's the point. Hurricanes have a much easier time forming during La Nina phases and a much harder time forming during El Nino phases. So, like, if hurricane season is a bonfire, La Nina is kind of like adding lighter fluid, and El Nino is kind of like dumping a bunch of water on it. Now, according to Virginia, something we don't actually know yet is whether climate change is messing with those normal weather patterns like El Nino and La Nina. They're still trying to figure that out, so the jury's still out.
Okay, what about this whole rapid intensification issue? This is a pattern it seems we're experiencing where storms will just ramp up in intensity in a short amount of time.
Right. This happened a lot last year where there was a storm brewing in the Gulf, and it would be a Category 2, let's say, and then you'd go to sleep, and then you'd wake up, and then all of a sudden it's Category 4.
So stressful.
So this is also related to climate change, and it's basically for the same reason that we were talking about earlier with the overall intensity, because warmer oceans mean more fuel.
Yeah, the energy associated with the storms. Mm-hmm. It has increased, and it's been concurrent with an increase in the intensity of the tropical storms that have formed.
It's fair to assume then, I would think, that this is just going to keep happening. Like the warmer the mm-hmm. water gets and the atmosphere gets, that yeah. means that this trend of rapid intensification is here to stay for now.
Right.
Okay.
And it depends upon the emissions scenario. It depends upon how society responds.
So in other words, if we want storms to stop intensifying, we have to stop heating up the atmosphere, which means we have to stop polluting it with carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases like we are now.
Okay, Travis. So we talked about a lot of things here. Some of them are related to climate change, and we found out some of them aren't.
Right.
So let's run through a recap of each one.
Great. You take the lead.
Here I go. Development off the coast of Africa. Probably not. Intensity? Yes. Number of storms? Probably not. Number of storms that are stronger? Yes. El Nino? La Nina? We don't know. Rapid intensification? Yes.
That about sums it up. I really hope we don't have another hurricane season like 2020 for a long time.
Yeah, please. Nothing like 2020 ever again.
You know, after going through all these sciencey things with the Virginia, what do you think the takeaway here is for you?
Well, I mean, it seems like unless something intense happens, hurricanes will continue to get stronger. So it's just something that we're going to have to plan for if we stay here.
Right.
Just the cost of doing business when it comes to living in New Orleans.
You just get used to it.
Get used to it. And make sure that you have a really good plan.
Yeah. All right.
Should we
get the credits?
Let's roll them credits. Life Raft is a production of WWNO, WRKF, and PRX, and is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
This episode was produced by Betsy Shepherd and me, Travis Lux, and it was edited by Curtis Fox. The theme music is by Peter Bowling, and additional music is by Blue Dot Sessions.
The logo art is by Laura Sanders. And WWNO's Coastal Desk is supported by the Greater New Orleans Foundation and the Walton Family Foundation.
And if you've got a question you want us to explore, please send it to us. There's a simple form on our website, liferaftpod.org, and there's also a link to that form in our show notes. We're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, @LifeRaftPod, so please give us a follow.
If you like the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps other people find the show.
See you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye! Good.